From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM, emerging artists for you for the first couple hours tonight. And you can see their full information on our website, coasttocoastam.com. And did you know you can get to our website by going to C2CAM.com as well. And later tonight, channeling subtle energy. Here's what's happening. More than 60 people arrested over the violence in the Ukrainian port city of Odessa have been freed by police after protesters attacked the main police station. Several hundred pro-Russian protesters besieged the police headquarters, breaking through windows and doors. The clashes on Friday had left more than 40 people dead, mostly pro-Russian separatists killed in a building fire. We're going to continue to monitor this story this week. All our experts say this could erupt into something huge. France is expected to suspend pig-related imports from a number of countries as worries grow over the spread of a deadly swine virus. The virus has killed some 7 million piglets just in the United States in the past year. This disease has also been found in Canada, Mexico, and Japan. Earlier this year, a slaughterhouse in Northern California was the center for one of the biggest meat recalls in years. Rancho Feeding Corporation had called back nearly 9 million pounds of bad meat from thousands of unsuspecting stores across the country. The story of how millions of pounds of bad meat, products that the U.S. Department of Agriculture called unfit for human food, made its way out into the world and triggered a criminal investigation is one of the staggering deceptions of cancerous cows. Federal investigators started surveillance on the California facility after getting a tip from a former Rancho employee. In January, the federal marshals raided the plant and seized the company's records. Days later, the first recall notice went out. Investigators now believe that Rancho was buying diseased dairy cows and processing them when government inspectors weren't there after the cows were killed. Employees would hide the warning signs of cancer by trimming off diseased parts. Kind of makes you want to become a vegan. They used a fake stamp of approval or even replacing the heads of sick cows with ones from healthy animals. Our food safety expert, Coach Jeff Nelkin, with us. Jeff, this has got to be one of the sickest recall stories I've ever heard.
I agree with you 100%.
What can happen to us if we've eaten these cancerous cows?
Well, so far, you know, from what I've read, the cancer was specific. It was like an eye cancer, and they didn't feel that, you know, with the eye processing that it really had an impact. No one so far has gotten ill. But the USDA has made what they call a Class 1 recall, which means there's a health hazard situation. The question you really want to begin to ask is, how did they get away with this for a whole year, producing this meat with a inspector on premise all the time? So obviously they were doing this processing when the inspector wasn't there. But what about all the other third-party auditing people that come in? Because these people were supplying maybe 35 states, Nestle's Hot Pockets, just a lot of products that this inexpensive meat, obviously, was being sold. And then the twist to all this is that the inspector was having an affair with the manager. So now the question is, you know, this is becoming even a deeper, you know, like a deeper plot.
Oh, my God, it's a movie.
Exactly.
All right, Jeff. Jeff's website, foodsafetycoach.com. Babies born to women over 35 who smoke are at greater risk of having specific heart defects, according to an American research study. The study from Seattle's Children's Hospital adds to existing evidence that smoking during pregnancy can damage babies' hearts, as well as increase the risk of miscarriage, small babies, and premature birth. Now, it may seem the stuff of gothic horror novels, but transfusions of young blood could reverse the aging process and even cure Alzheimer's disease, according to scientists. Now, don't run out and bite somebody. Throughout history, Cultures across the globe have extolled the properties of youthful blood, with children sacrificed in the blood of young warriors drunk by the victors. It was even rumored that then North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il injected himself with the blood from healthy women to slow the aging process. Now scientists have found that young blood actually recharges the brain, forms new blood vessels, and improves memory and learning. At least nine Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus performers, the greatest show on earth, injured in Providence, Rhode Island, after an apparatus used in their act failed. Eight performers fell when their hair-hang apparatus, which holds performers by their hair, failed, and they just all dropped to the ground. Another performer was injured on the ground. Earth entering a stream of debris from Halley's Comet. Forecasters expect the shower to peak on the night of May 5th and 6th, as many as 60 meteors an hour in the southern hemisphere and half that number in the north. Small asteroid about the size of a city bus zipped by us at a range closer than the moon early Saturday. It posed no threat to our planet. The newly discovered asteroid, 2014 HL-129, came within 186,000 miles. That's a little too close for comfort for me. Let's check in with, of course, planetary expert and scientist Dan Derda, who helps watch the skies. Dan, how did this one almost get past us?
Hey, George. Well, you know, it's like many of the other little asteroids of its size that are passing by us at any given time. This sounds kind of like a newsworthy thing, but I'll tell you, any given day, there are objects like this passing between us and the moon. We just obviously don't see all of them.
Well, we lucked out again. But there's going to be a time, Dan, you're going to be on this program with me, Coast to Coast, and we're going to get hit. And we're going to be talking about the damage caused by an asteroid strike. I know it's going to happen.
Oh, well, you know, and it happened about a year and a half ago, a year and a few months ago, at least, with Chelyabinsk. So it tells us right there that these things can and do happen.
I hear rumors you may be going up into space.
Hey, well, more than just rumors. I am indeed going to be flying probably sometime next year, in the next year or two, something
good
like that,
you.
with a couple of the commercial suborbital companies getting ready for my ticket to the stars.
How long are you going to be up there?
Well, these are suborbital flights. This is
okay.
The Alan Shepard special, right?
Up
so
and down.
Up and down. That's right. A few minutes in zero G up at the top, high enough to see the curvature of the Earth. Good enough for me.
Strap a tape recorder to yourself, and we'll play it on the show.
Oh, you bet.
Can you do that?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay, Dan. Be well. Dan Derda, planetary scientist. A naked man who had been running and doing push-ups, naked, in a Portland street, was struck by a car and killed early on Saturday. Portland police say they received two phone calls about the man in a street in the industrial area of North Portland, but the man was killed before they arrived at the scene. A third call said a car had hit the man. The driver stopped at the scene. It was cooperative. He was not impaired by alcohol or drugs. Now you think I may have passed on and we're in the clouds somewhere. No, that's not the case. It's harp music. Angels play it, they say. But in a moment, Carol McLaughlin joins us. Manifest moments to moment. Eight principles to manifest the life you truly desire. How harp music helps you heal and creates energy. She's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Carol McLaughlin is a distinguished professor of harp at the University of Arizona, heading one of the most respected harp departments in the world. Her education includes the Juilliard School of Music and the first doctorate in harp performance ever awarded. She has performed extensively around the world and is a renowned harpist, teacher, author, energy healer, and she's on Coast to Coast for a couple hours. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
So you've got it. Even before we get into the background of harp and how it makes people energetic, how did you get interested in this?
Well, I'm from northern Canada, and it's not the kind of place that you can just walk down to the corner shop and find a harp.
No.
But my dad owned a motel, and at age four, I declared to the world that I was going to play the harp. In fact, my grandmother used to read me a story about a little lost angel who got locked out of heaven and walked around giving away her wings to a lame boy. And and met a woman who was crying and said, "Here, I'll heal you. I'll make you happy. I'll give you my harp." And according to my grandma, I'd say, "Oh, I want to play the harp." So that got stuck. We read a lot of books at 40 Below in northern Canada. And my dad found a man in Toronto who sent us a harp, an instruction book in French. And nobody in Grand Prairie spoke French. So every time a person came through the hotel who spoke French, he didn't pay for his room and had to come down to the house behind the hotel, translate a page.
That's funny.
I was playing in Toronto a number of years ago, and a really wizened, fabulous old man kind of hobbled up to the stage at intermission, and he said, "Young lady, I was one of your first teachers."
Isn't that cool? Did you ever play at the Queen Elizabeth Theater in Toronto?
Yes, I have.
I do my events there when I'm in Toronto every year, and it's a great venue, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So the harps themselves, Carol, they're tall. They're what, 6-7 feet tall?
Yeah, about 6 feet.
And is that you playing with it?
No, but she's here. You want to hear it? This is Bertha.
Right next to you.
Yeah.
How come they sound so angelic?
Because they are. Don't you read the publicity?
Of course I read the publicity. But they've in every movie, harps are always associated with angels.
I know. And if you go back to the Bible, King David played the harp to get rid of headaches.
How many strings are on a harp?
47.
47 strings.
And the hard part's the pedals. So around the bass.
My gosh.
There's 7 pedals, 1 for each note. And each pedal has 3 positions for flat, natural, and sharp. So if you've got your pedal in the right position and you play the right colored string, you're cooking. If the pedal's in the wrong position, no matter that you're playing the right note, it'll sound wrong. So it makes it one of the most difficult instruments to play, which I got to tell you, there's nothing about the pedals that's angelic.
No, not about the pedals, but I got to tell you, it's harder than a guitar to play, isn't it?
It's one of the hardest instruments, yeah.
And how many expert harp players are there on this planet?
Oh, we're a handful.
There's not that many.
There's probably 10 people who are world esteemed, or
my gosh,
15 or 20 of us. Not many.
Does every major symphony, there's a great symphony in St. Louis, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Do they all have harpists?
They would have harpists. And an orchestra harpist has a field of specialty. And a solo performer like myself has a specialty. And people who play in the movies in L.A. have a certain specialty. So just like anything, you've got brain surgeons and general practitioners and everything else.
Now, to a lot of people who are listening to us right now, Carol's saying, "No, wait a minute. They're talking about just playing the harp." Oh, no. There's something about a harp and harp music that changes people.
And I think it's because our strings vibrate. So our fingers, number one, we're one of the only instruments that our fingers themselves pluck the strings. So that's different than a bow on a violin or a keyboard with a hammer that hits the piano string. So number one, we're totally one-on-one with making the sound. And then if you think of it, that string vibrates. And so there's actual vibration going through the air.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
I believe that vibration goes all the way into the body.
There's a resonance that comes off that harp music that hits them. And I bet it's a certain frequency that can help heal the body.
Yes, and the other thing that's great is every human being has a different frequency. Every human being has a different vibration. It makes a lot of sense. We breathe, our hearts beat, our lungs move, the blood goes through our veins. Everybody's at a different tempo. And so anytime there's that vibration, there has to be sound associated with it. And the sound associated with it can be invented by a healer, or it can be represented by a healer. And the harp then can play in harmony with those pitches and empower them. Or if some part of the body's kind of feeble or not working right or diseased, that'll have a different pitch because it's not vibrating at its full frequency. And with training, you can entrain that part of the body that's not in pitch and bring it into harmony or vibration with the rest of the body. Once the body's all talking to each other, real healing happens.
Of the 10 expert harpists around the planet, how many are women, Carol? Any guys?
You know, there are some really fabulous men, but it is traditionally a woman's
it is.
Instrument.
How come? Why is that?
I don't know. One story I heard was back in the days of orchestras, like the Boston Philharmonic would be mostly men, and harp was the only instrument that was allowed to have a woman player. And I don't know. We're just attracted to it.
Yeah, it is. It's strange. I'm going to play the bass, but no, you know, it's just, I've always seen that every program I've been that I've witnessed, it's always a woman playing the harp.
And yet some of the best, players, I've got two in the world right now. One is professor at the, London Conservatory and a great jazz harpist named Park Stickney, started with me when he was six. And the head of the harp department at the Shanghai Conservatory, Xiao Jie Zhang, also one of my graduates, he's a fabulous harpist.
The harp music for healing, we're going to get into this in a big way. Can it also heal if you just pick it up on a CD or you hear it like I just did that introduction? Will that music help you, or do you physically have to be near a harp in order to get that resonance?
You know, I think it's even more specific than that, George, because in the work that I do, I hear the pitch of the body, and then I play or channel the music that I think that body needs to heal. So what your, I call it a soul song, mm-hmm. what your soul song would be would not have the same healing properties for somebody else because
I see.
Specifically directed to be in harmony with what your body needs.
And how do you pick up on the soul sound?
You know, it's so interesting. It started in a university. My director, who went on to become the dean at Indiana School of Music, David Woods, used to be able to walk into a supermarket where a baby was crying in some mother's arms. And he'd say to the baby just be making a horrific sound.
Yeah.
And he'd say to the mother, can I just talk to your baby for a second? And I mean, the mom's ready to throw the baby in a trash.
She's ready to give the kid away. Here, take him.
Right, take him. And he would hear the baby's pitch, and he'd just sing that one pitch to the baby, and in about 4 seconds, the baby would be completely silent. So I was studying with him at that time and actually pregnant with my daughter. And I said, whoa, I want to know about this. So he taught me how to hear or how to open up to be able to sense, whether it's a knowing or a hearing or a just understanding what pitches were in harmony with that particular person and what pitches weren't.
What kind of illnesses do people have when they need your help? Anything?
I think it works on anything. We've done everything from people who needed ear surgery and did harp healing and didn't need to have the surgery, to people coming off drugs, to all sorts of things. But my training, as you know, I've got a doctorate, so my training was to say, well, hey, I want to prove to the scientific community that this exists because I knew it. I knew it worked. So I went to the University Medical Center in Tucson, Arizona, which is my university, got a grant to work with a couple of doctors from Andrew Weil's Center for Integrative Medicine.
Good
here
person
in
he is.
Yeah, fabulous, and two wonderful doctors, research doctors. So we played for 100 patients. And how this ties in, we said, okay, let's find the most serious cases we can. So we went into the ICU, intensive care of people just coming out of either thoracic or heart surgery.
Okay, hold that story right there, Carol. We're going to come right back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you, Carol McLaughlin with us, Manifest Moment to Moment. So, Carol, you're in the ICU unit at a hospital looking at some intensive care patients. Tell me what's happening.
So I've got my harp named Bertha, and the patients are all hooked up to, you know, every kind of monitoring system you can imagine. And then in addition to that, one of my co-researchers is an expert in heart math, so she's got a gizmo on the ear of the patient to register the relationship between breathing and the heart. And we, of course, had a blind study, and then there were the patients I played for. And then we looked at things like pain, things like blood blood pressure. And it was so wonderful. If you're going to try and prove something, have nice numbers. So there was 87% perceived change in pain with no change in medication.
That's unheard of.
Isn't that great? Yeah. I didn't even have blisters, so I didn't even have pain.
Unbelievable.
And of those 87% who had reduced pain, the average pain that it was reduced by was 27%. So it's pretty significant with no drugs. And then the stories were wonderful. There was the first man I worked with when I walked in, they said, "Oh, Carol, don't go in there. The guy's been in a coma for 3 to 5 days. We have no idea what's going to happen, but he's not going to hear you." And I said, "You know, that's why we're here. Sometimes the harp can connect where nothing else can connect. So you've got to get permission to play for anybody." So his daughter was there, and she said, "Heavens, I'll sign it on his behalf." So I went in, and I played always for 10 minutes to make the study very appropriate.
Yeah.
And at 7.5 minutes into the session, he pulled off his breathing mask and said, "Thank you."
That's remarkable.
Yeah. The nurses came in and went, "What? Hello?" Another great story. There was a news team there, and it was an older gentleman who had heard the harp on the ward and really wanted to hear
more music,
harp healing. Yeah. And the head nurse, who was just great, I mean, she loved it. She said, "Look, my nurses are in such a better mood when the harp's happening that the patients are going to get better anyway because we're doing a better job."
Yeah.
So she said, "This man just really, he's been asking all day." And she said, "You need to know that he's going to a hospice this afternoon. The prognosis is not good." And I said, "Wow, I'd be deeply honored to have the opportunity." So I played. His song was so clear and so beautiful that I played it. And the doctor walked in at the end to check everything and looked up at the news camera and said, "Cancel the orders to go to the hospice. His vital signs have improved so drastically."
Oh my God, just like that.
Yeah. And it was on camera. Thank you, universe.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, so you get these experiences and you go, wow, you know, how grateful am I?
Have you had any cases where someone, you know, had a massive size tumor and it was gone after listening to harp music?
Yeah, I'd love to manifest that. And I wrote a book about manifesting, but I haven't done that yet.
That's what you have to work on. That would be earth-shattering. If we could find out that what you do does that, who knows what kind of doors can open. I've got to ask you a little bit about Harpo Marx, Adolf Marx. He played the harp in a lot of his films. He died in 1964. Not a lot of people know who he was. But was he any good?
He was wonderful. He was wonderful. And I know this because I'm the only living person who has the permission of the Marx estate to play Harpo's music.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I'm partners with Harpo's son, Bill Marx, who's a fabulous jazz pianist. And we do a concert about Harpo. So the story is Harpo never learned how to read music. He didn't get past, I think, grade 3 in school. and wasn't a serious studying type person, but he had this thing for the harp. Now, having told my parents at age 4 that I was going to be a world-famous harpist, I understand when something grabs you early or at some point in your life and you go, I have to do this. So Harpo loved the harp. And his great-grandmother used to be a harpist in Alsace-Lorraine. And his great-grandfather actually made potions. And they had a wagon train. And in the back of the wagon, the great-grandfather would be selling the potion. And to get people to come, the wife would play the harp. So people would come and gather around, and then he'd sell the potions. So when the Marx brothers hit vaudeville, their mother, who was named Minnie, had this old harp and sent it to Harpo and said, here, I've heard you talk about harp forever. We located your great-grandmother's harp. And Harpo loved it so much, he would sit for 3 or 4 hours a day just strumming the notes, just hearing the beauty. I wonder if he was self-healing. I've never thought of that until now. Thank you, George.
That's fantastic.
And he would just love the instrument so much that he'd play for hours. And if you watch him in the movies, you know, he's cutting up and they're all yucking it up and everything's funny. And he sits down to play harp and bang, his persona changes.
It sure does. Oh, he gets really serious too, doesn't he?
It's from the soul.
Yeah. It really does. I've had a mustache, I think, since I have been 2 years old, Carol. So my parents would always let me do Groucho Marx impressions when I was
sure.
Say the magic word and
good for you.
All those things. But what if you had several harp players playing at the same time? Could you cure a room or do you have to do it individually?
My opinion is, I mean, you've heard this so many times. Yes, it's the harp, but it's really the harpist. It's really
like, it's you.
Yeah, it's me who happens to be able to channel. And, oh, this is so interesting.
I mean, if you played the trumpet, do you think you'd still be able to heal people?
I do not.
You do not?
I'm a really rotten trumpet player.
All right. Well, you could have been good if you practiced. I have a feeling you're good at anything you try to do.
Who knows? On a good day, maybe. But it's really channeling. I just really tap in, and I have to leave my ego behind, and I have to leave an agenda behind. I've got a story from the hospital. I went into a room, and it was a black gentleman who was ill, and he looks up and he says, oh, I want some music. I've been a jazz musician my whole life. Well, he's talking to my soul because I played jazz in my dad's
It's the best.
Band when I was 4 years old. So I've played jazz forever. And I love it. It talks from the soul. So I proceeded to play for this man, and I put everything into it. And I put my energy and enthusiasm and it was really good music.
Like a jazz player.
Like a jazz player would. I improvised, and we both had tears coming down our cheeks at the end of the healing of the performance. That's the thing. It was a performance. And I walked out to where my team was taking the notes, and one of the doctors looked up at me and she said, it's the only one that did not have a change in the blood pressure.
Isn't that something?
Because I was playing from ego, from Juilliard, from hot years in my dad's jazz. I wasn't playing what he needed. And I thought that was so interesting and so humbling.
Huh. And what did you learn from that?
I learned that it's not about, quote, excellence. And maybe, you know, they say this. They say, it's a great story about a fabulous pianist. And he touched everybody, right, this pianist. And the joke backstage is always, after this guy went off the stage, I think it was Horowitz, that a stage crew would come along with a broom and pick up all the wrong notes that he dropped in the concert. But nobody ever knew it because he played with such honesty and such beauty and such
passion.
Yeah. So it's not about the right notes. It's not about impressing somebody that you've got good jazz licks. It's about opening up to, I don't know, to the vibration of what's true and honest. And that's what I think is the healing.
Can you tell me about the manifesting and how that works?
Well, the manifesting ties in with it, as far as I'm concerned, because manifesting also means not following somebody else's rules, not having a, okay, I'll do this mantra and I'll get rich, or I'll get this, or I'll get this, or I'll follow this rule, or I'll follow this path. To me, manifesting is going inside your being and hearing your harmony and hearing your desires and realizing your intent and coming in touch with your soul mission, so that you like literally vibrate what it is that you want to happen in your life. And when you're in vibration with it, all the power in the world won't keep you away from what you want.
So if you're there strumming the harp and you're not tuned in to the individual, as you were talking about the jazz person, you're not on that plane.
Yeah.
It's great music, sounds good, but it's not going to work, is it?
It's not going to work. And that's why it goes back to your question. Like, if I played a CD, anyone who's cut a CD knows that you get 24 great measures and then you can do an edit. And so a CD sounds perfect, but on an emotional scale, on an energetic scale, it's all over the place. It's for show.
But it's still relaxing no matter what, whether you're hearing it in person or on a CD.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And actually, I think all music is healing. Look at a mother singing a lullaby to a sick child or a child she wants to put to sleep. Go back to Bill Marx, Harpo's son. So we toured for Columbia Artist Management doing 70 concerts a year across the U.S. And Bill would start humming, and it'd be a different pitch. And he'd start humming, and I'd say, Bill, what are you doing? And he says, I'm healing myself. And he could hear the pitch that he needed to correct, a stomach ache, a headache.
How about that?
Yeah. And I, it just, once you start looking for these things, they just keep coming at you, and you go, wow, people do this all the time.
There's a mall in St. Louis during Christmas. They have a harpist there in the mall strumming along. I think it increases sales. I don't know. Why would they put a harp player in a mall during Christmas?
Well, I'll tell you. And I'm a harpist. I spend my whole life hugging this silly instrument. I don't mean it.
Bertha.
Lovely instrument.
Hey, Bertha.
I'm sorry, Bertha. But at the start of your program tonight, you had a beautiful arrangement with a harp in it. And immediately I went, oh, that's gorgeous. There's just something about it. Maybe that's why they think all the angels play harp. It's a truly elegant, full of grace, full of beauty sound.
It does something. And when we take calls next hour, here's an interesting question for people who are listening to us right now, Carol. I wonder if when you hear that, it changes your feelings, your mood, your persona, even in your worst state or your very angry state. I have a feeling when you hear harp music, it will calm you down.
Absolutely. And isn't that healing?
It sure is.
Sure it is.
Of everything you've done with the harp, what would you say has been the most shocking or surprising thing you've learned from this? Its healing abilities through you, of course.
Shocking and harp don't seem to go together.
There is no dark side to a harp, is there?
There isn't a dark side, but I'll tell you what it's taught me. It's taught me that anything is possible. Absolutely anything is possible. If I put my intent and my belief and my energy and my enthusiasm behind it, I'll tell you a story. I was a young Canadian, and the Minister of Culture was talking to me one day, and he said, if you really, really, really make it big in the music business, you play Japan. Now, this is 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And I heard that statement. I just, a few months ago, completed my 34th trip to Japan.
34 trips. Good for you.
Because I believed it. That's what you did. And I knew I was going to be good, so that's what you did. So I wonder if people don't hear something and it reminds them, wow, I can do whatever I believe if I follow it and if I believe in it and I open up to that positiveness. That's what I think it can do.
What's happening in terms of students learning the harp? Is it a growing field or is it a dying field?
You know, it's so great because we're in a renaissance. There's more harp students today than there ever have been. And I think it's because we're taking the harp into the world of jazz. We're taking the harp into the world of healing. And it's like this instrument that wasn't very well known all of a sudden is what everybody wants.
Are there little harps that you can, like, keep by your shoulder and hold in your arms?
There are, and there's little ones that are about 3 feet long, or, 3 feet tall. And a church that I've started a harp choir at now has 15 kids, ages 6 to about 15, who all dress up in little white dresses and play concerts together. And, wow, if you want to talk about a herd of angels and the power of positive, these kids, some of them haven't got a chance in the world but are on scholarship and are extraordinarily special because they've got a harp in their life.
How old is the harp, Carol?
You know, it goes back to the Ur Valley in Mesopotamia, to the earliest pictures on Egyptian and Mesopotamian.
Wow.
Yeah, way old.
And has it always been, you know, compared to something angelic?
I wonder. I know it's been in the Bible many, many times, King David, etc. I went to Egypt and were even allowed to go into some of the tombs where the public doesn't get to go, but they had pictures of harps. And I didn't see anything that would be similar to our angels, but of course that's a whole different culture. But it was always being played when there was a picture of abundance and a picture of golden and a picture of what perfect is.
And what's the harp made out of? Is it wood?
Yeah. You've got wood, a lot of it's Canadian maple. And then you've got something like 3,000 moving parts because those crafty little petals have to have. So there's a post that goes up, and the post connects to the neck. And on that, it's the same as frets on a guitar. So the string, when the petal's in one position, hangs quite long. Then you put your petal in another position, and a little rivet makes the first fret engage. Strings an inch shorter will sound.
Do they ever snap or break?
Often. And
frustrating, isn't it?
Preferably not during concerts.
No. Has that happened to you?
It has.
Ugh. How long does it take to replace a string that breaks?
Three stories to the audience worth. You can do it pretty fast. I prefer, if a string breaks, to pretend it didn't happen. And just play through the piece, and then quickly you carry a set of strings with you right backstage
for every 40 plus all of them.
Oh yeah, well, three sets to be honest when I'm on tour.
Wow. But okay, stay with us, Carol. We're going to come back in a moment, take some more phone calls.